Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word today, unlock it, challenge us, inspire us, fill us with what your truth may teach us through its words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, later on this week, on Thursday morning, I'll be going into Virginia College. I'm going in to face a class of sixth-year students. They're doing a module as part of their religious studies, looking at the sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church and the Church of Ireland. It should be fun. I better do some studying and reading up before I go and chat to the students. But I've always enjoyed, actually, over the years, they've come to the church and asked me all sorts of questions. So I'm looking forward to that later on in the week. And I suppose going in illustrates, of course, that while there is much common ground between the two churches, there are differences. There are fundamental differences as well, which I hope gracefully that we can agree to disagree about. Well, how did it all come about? Why did those differences happen? Well, 500 years ago this year, on October the 31st, 1517, a young Roman Catholic monk called Martin Luther climbed the steps of a church in Wittenberg in Germany, and he nailed a list of theses to the church door. And out of that act emerged an historical movement that would be known as the Protestant Reformation, hence the differences between the two churches. And at the very heart of what Luther did were what we call five solas, or five truths which he believed needed to be rediscovered by the church. And for the next 5 weeks, we are going to take one of them per week. We're going to have a quick look at it. And then, as always, I'm going to invite folk on a Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 in the rectory, or on a Friday morning from 11:30 to 12:30, to gather together and to go a little bit deeper into what the particular sola or truth means. So here are the five solas that were at the core of Martin Luther's new Reformation. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone, which we're going to look at this week. Then there was Sola Christus, in Christ alone. Then Sola Gratia, by grace alone. Sola Fide, through faith alone. And then finishing with Sola Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, glory to God alone. As always, I encourage us to come along and to spend time unlocking and learning God's word together. It's not about Holy Joes or the holy people. It's about people with sincerity gathering and engaging and learning and going deeper in our faith. So a couple of questions to start with. If we want to bake a cake, where do we turn? Well, we can talk to someone. Nowadays, we can go online and we can follow a video. We can take a class. But the usual place that we might turn if we want to learn how to bake a cake is from a book. Exactly. If we want to learn to drive, we need to take lessons, of course. But we also must turn to the rules of the road, which we learn and follow so that we and others are safe. Well, the principle of that is repeated in many other places, including the church. Therefore, the first sola, Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone, points us to where we get our authority. It points us to where we get our guide, our way of knowing God. The reformers of the 16th century recognized that the church had wandered away from the authority of scriptures. It had turned to human understanding, it had turned to human tradition, even mysticism as something that replaced the Bible. So what Luther and others subsequently did was place the Bible back front and centre, using passages like the one we read from 2 Timothy to support their reason, particularly verses 14 to 17, if you'd like to turn to the weekly sheet and follow along just for a few moments. In 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is instructing his protege, Timothy, about many aspects of Christian life and Christian leadership. And in our passage, Paul is underlining to Timothy the importance of the Bible. Now, at this stage, it would have been the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures. But of course, as more and more of the New Testament is written, that is included as well. But here is what we read. But as you continue in what you have learned, Timothy, and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you notice the importance that Paul places on Scripture and its place in the life of followers of Jesus? Here Paul is saying to Timothy that he is to remain faithful to the Scripture, which will make him wise in the faith, and which for the Christian is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So essentially, Paul is underlining, reflected by Luther's teachings too, that Scripture is the Christian guidebook to which we turn and grow and learn. But the important part, as far as Paul is concerned, at the very heart of Luther's Sola Scriptura, comes at the beginning of verse 16. Do you notice what Paul writes? Well, he writes for him, again echoed by Luther, for the church today, for us, that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. This is an important reminder that the Bible isn't just a collection of some man-made, man-written books. Physically, yes, written by man, but inspired by God, coming from the very mouth of God through those that he has chosen to write it. It's not one source among many. The Bible, Scripture, God-breathed and God-inspired, is the ultimate source and the ultimate authority by which Christians are called to live their lives. It is the truth that we believe that we have received from God, therefore are called to live by. That's why we read it as part of our services. It is why we proclaim after every reading, "This is the word of the Lord." It is why we spend time looking at passages as part of our service. It is why we have our Bible studies. It is why we are called to read it daily in our lives, because the Bible is something precious, which is why Luther called for the church to re-examine the place of the Bible in its life. And so as we think about the place of the Bible in the life of the church and the life of individual believers today, sadly 500 years on, the same things that Luther criticized could equally be true of the church today across so many issues. We put human understanding, we put human opinion, we put traditions and many other things as an equal voice to the Bible. We treat the Bible as an optional extra to our faith. But Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone, reminds me, it challenges me, it reminds us and challenges us that for Christians the Bible is not to be one voice among many. It is to be the ultimate voice, the ultimate authority, the ultimate truth which we are to hunger and thirst after, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as I lay this foundation out before us, as we remember with thankfulness, and as we seek to be God's people today, the question I leave all of us is this: Do we, as a church, as individuals, treat the Bible as important? Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we read the Bible, we know that it is there. And yet I wonder, do we treat it as precious, as the ultimate authority, the ultimate truth that feeds into the lives of this church, that feeds into the lives of those who profess faith in Jesus? May we, as we journey together, place Scripture at the very heart of our journey, so that we may hear from God, learn from God, so that we may inwardly digest what God's Word teaches, so that we may grow and deepen in our journey of faith. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. And I pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.